1230 WJBC at WJBC.com. It's 54 degrees at 4:09. We are back on the Afternoon Report. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Sam Wood, and joining us in studio now, we have two pastors with us. We have Kent King Nobles, the pastor at First United Methodist Church of Normal. Also, Von Hoffman joining us, the pastor at Wesley United Methodist Church in Bloomington. Guys, thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We have you on today because you guys are holding a very interesting, I don't even know what to call it, a prayer service, rally, whatever word you want to use for it, to urge our legislators in Illinois to pass a budget, and for a very good reason. I mean, social service agencies, it's no secret, they have been fledgling in Illinois over this nearly two-year-long budget impasse. United Way of Illinois recently releasing a study showing nearly 70% of agencies have received no payments or only partial payments from the state this year, and the situation is getting dire, and it's gotten to the point now where, faith groups are, recognizing the impact this is having on, social service agencies. I know this is not intended to be a political event, so just in your own words, give us the rundown on, why you feel the need to, have this prayer service.
Sure. Thanks very much for inviting us and, for asking. Our, hope that this event really came out of a very simple meeting. Kent and I have been friends for a long time, and we meet regularly for coffee or lunch. And one of our recent meetings within the last month, we were joined by Larry Dietz, the ISU president, just visiting over coffee, and among the things that we talk about, the things that others talk about, the repercussions of the state budget impasse and those who are affected. And we began to think, was there something that faith communities could do to begin to at least raise to our own awareness as religious people how this plays out in the local community? It's sometimes, for those of us who don't feel directly affected, it's easy to be patient with stalemate and not feel like there's much need to move it forward. But we began to think more deeply about it, and among the many communities that are affected, you know, our social service institutions for sure, but also the three institutions of higher education here in the community, profoundly affected by it. In our conversation, Larry Dietz, from the ISU president, related that at ISU alone, there are 4,000 students who depend on MAP grants as part of their educational funding, and those have not been paid with the budget impasse, and colleges have struggled to maintain the funding for those from other ways. But 4,000 students at one from ISU alone, and we were just over coffee saying, you know, how many, if you've ever been to Braden Auditorium, I ask, is that about what Braden seats? He says, actually, Braden Auditorium seats 3,500 people. So if you could imagine Braden Auditorium completely full with 500 more students lining the halls of Braden Auditorium, that's just one way in which people are affected. So it's really massively significant, the numbers of folks who are affected by this.
Wow. And, you know, we mentioned Illinois State University, and while they are struggling, they were recently affected by this credit downgrade, as were all of Illinois' public institutions. But compared to the Eastern Illinois and the Southern Illinois of Illinois, they're actually doing well, which kind of makes you think, my God, what is happening to our public education systems? But so did you? It sounds like you guys just felt a calling to raise this awareness, to bring it to our attention, because you would think, yeah, most Illinoisans are aware our fiscal house is not in order. But, you know, just in some conversations we were having before the show, I mean, you guys said it seems like people can get complacent with this and, oh, well, you know, they'll figure it out eventually. Why now? Why are you guys feeling that so compelled to do this now?
I think some of the motivation was just a growing sense that we're beginning to accept this as a new normal. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, you know, it's an irritation. We know it's hurting our community. We know it's hurting our state. But we're not feeling the pain as deeply as some of our citizens are and some of our agencies are. Mm-hmm. I've just begun to hear more and more stories from people about the vulnerable people in our communities, you know, the people who are really needing support. For example, I was talking to Diane Schultz today, CEO of the Baby Fold, great organization. You know, there's so much good in our community, like a lot of our organizations do. And she was talking about the adoption preservation program they have. You know, this is a program where if someone out of the goodness of their heart adopts a high needs child, you know, they've got severe psychological problems, they need a lot of support. These children, you know, need a lot of services. Well, you know, they already have 50 families on their waiting list, and to keep cutting money and to keep living in uncertainty, I mean, those are real life, you know, moms and dads who are trying to care for kids that are not getting what they need. And what happens if you know, all this work to come up with these great programs dries up and goes away? Well, basically, then you have these kids going back to be in kind of warehouse and 24/7 facilities, not getting the kind of support they need. Taxpayers paying more money for this, not less, and the kids, you know, really suffering. So I think one of the things that I felt individually as I heard these stories is, you know, I'm frustrated, but I feel like I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so part of our conversation with President Dietz was, you know, what can we do? What can our faith lead us to do to make a difference? Instead of just accepting, well, you know, somebody somewhere is controlling this, or the Congress people are in some kind of stalemate. It seems like we have a higher calling to be supportive, to pray and to work and to do what we can to move out of this place of being stuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, it's an interesting parallel there, because I know anyone that's you know, in the faith community that is preaching, especially if they're at the pulpit, you know, they always try to separate politics from what they're preaching. And in a way, I mean, you guys are not politicizing this, but do you find that difficult to recognize the fact that Illinois' fiscal house is not in order, our legislators are not getting the most basic foundation of what they're sent to Springfield to do, to pass a budget? They can't even get that done. So how are you guys able to bring this up in a way that doesn't feel politicized? Because I know you're not calling out specific legislators or anything like that. You're just raising the issue. Do you find it difficult to keep politics separate from what you're doing at the pulpit?
I think the issue is, certainly, I'm not a legislator. Mm-hmm. I don't have policy solutions, but I don't think that's particularly my role or our role as religious leaders. Prayer to pray for those who are affected by this is a way, I believe, of beginning to say two things. It's our calling as religious people to, as much as possible, see things from a larger vantage point and be attentive to those who are hurt and left behind, or potentially so, and to bring them to the fore, and to recognize our calling as people who are called to from all faith traditions to kindness and compassion. How can we live that out among those people who are most vulnerable from this stalemate? So it's a question of articulating the need and the, you know, two things happen when you pray. Prayer, one reason you pray is you know what it'll do. It will help you see things when you pray and articulate, make me attentive to those who are left behind. It expands my own awareness and makes me a better person just for having prayed. Mm-hmm. The other reason you pray is there are a lot of linkages in this. The world is profoundly interconnected, and you start vibrating the web of care through prayer, and you never know quite what will play out with that in terms of others coming to the fore with kindness. And so prayer is a way of seeing things from a high vantage point and evoking the kindness of the community. And it's true, I would be the last to say I think there's some easy policy solution. I don't have policy solutions, but what I do think the religious community is called to do is to say there are justice questions and there are issues of kindness and compassion that can't be put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the prophet said, let justice roll down like waters. That's part of the church's job to say that, and it's part of the legislator's job to work the plumbing system out to see how that gets translated.
I think you're right. We don't want this to be partisan. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't about pointing fingers, blaming. I mean, there's been a lot of that already. Right. You know, we don't need to feed into that. But I do think that we want to push for solutions, mm-hmm. and we want our elected officials to know That they have our prayers, they have our support, and also that we have expectations that even though it's difficult, it's time to move through this. So we'll see. You know, we've invited the elected officials who represent our area in Springfield to be there. Hopefully they will be. We look forward to talking to them and finding out if there are some ways that we can support them. But we really don't want to say, well, it's Rauner's fault, it's Madigan's fault. We want to get out of that and figure out how we can all move forward to make difficult decisions, and to do all of us to do our part, but to help create sustainable communities, to help people who really need support and help, and to not let this continue to go on the way it is.
Yeah. And this prayer service is happening Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, and this is at Normal First United Methodist Church. If you're interested in attending that, our guests this afternoon again, Bloomington Normal pastors Kent King Nobles and Von Hoffman. And guys, something else that you know. Faith organizations, churches have always been in one way, shape, or another involved in charitable efforts for years. It's something that defines many faith organizations. And, you know, as we see social service agencies being underfunded or in some cases not getting any funding at all or just outright shuttering and closing their doors, I make the assumption that a lot of those burdens are passed on to faith organizations. If you know, the state-funded organization is shut down, well, let's turn to the church. But you brought up an interesting point before the show that churches can't do everything. They cannot provide all of those social service agency duties. So what have you guys been able to do, and what have you been asked to do during this budget impasse? Are there certain duties that you feel people have been coming to you more so than perhaps in times when Illinois did have a balanced budget?
I don't know that the frequency of requests for need have changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. We are aware of continuing utilization of things like food distributions and clothing distributions. Those kinds of things are utilized strongly and well. I don't know that that's been so different in terms of the budget impasse, like mm-hmm. we had talked about prior to coming on. At least to my way of thinking, a lot of the things that have been most directly affected, access to some mental health services. Kent was talking about those issues in terms of agencies like the Baby Fold who do great mm-hmm. work with mm-hmm. young families at risk. Those kinds of things that require specialty care, mm-hmm. those are the ones that seem to be more at risk.
Well, I think we may be getting to a really tough breaking point also. So far, I think what's happened is the social service agencies have sacrificed. You know, mm-hmm. Illinois State University, I mean, they've done a great job, but they've been affected. It's not that they haven't been affected, but they've been willing to make the sacrifices internally to make sure the MAP students can still go to school. Mm-hmm. They've been able to make sacrifices to make sure a good program still happen. I don't know how long can expect these people. Mm-hmm. There are millions of dollars that are not coming in. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long we can expect them to sacrifice and to be able to cover things with shorter and shorter funds. We may be getting to the point where all of us may start seeing more requests for service and more families destabilized. And I don't know if in the front lines that a lot of us have seen that yet. But I do think there may be a growing awareness in our communities that all of us need to get more involved. I mean, whether people are on the right, left, middle, wherever they are politically, I mean, that, you know, that's up to them. But I think everybody is feeling that we have more responsibility to care for our communities and make a difference in our communities. You know, Bloomington Normal, we're blessed. We've got great communities. Mm-hmm. A lot of great things have happened. But a lot of people have worked hard for you know, many generations to build these things. Mm-hmm. They can be lost. We shouldn't forget this.
Right.
And we may be at the point, if some of these things keep going the way they are much longer, we may start to see some real loss that could show up at all of our doors, not just the churches.
Well, and you had made a very good point, Kent, before we came on the show, that you know, for a while there, for these first, you know, maybe year and a half of this budget impasse, people that are well off may not have had their life changed in any way. It's usually right. The most vulnerable people that are feeling those effects first.
That's right.
There you have it. Again, our guests this afternoon, Bloomington Normal pastors Kent King Nobles and Von Hoffman, a prayer service urging legislators to get a budget passed, happening at 6 o'clock Thursday evening at Normal First United Methodist Church. Guys, anything you'd like to add that I have not had the insight to ask you?
Well, just let everybody know everyone's invited to come mm-hmm. to the service. But if they can't come, we extend the invitation to everyone to join us in prayer, to join us in support, to make your actions positive. Let's continue to make our community great.